Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Nixon with you here in about 20 minutes. We'll get right back to the Royals with our Royals insider, Josh Vernier. Royals back in action tonight. Series and, I guess, season finale against the Detroit Tigers. Schoolboy on the mound, trying to snap this losing streak are the Royals.
Not ideal.
Things get a little dicier if they lose tonight in terms of the playoff picture. But we'll talk to Vern about all that and the issues with the lineup right now, how easy it has been for the Tigers to not really have to pitch to Bobby Witt Jr. or Salvador Perez. And is the solution there? And who could that be? So we'll get to that in just a little bit. We're also going to hear from Patrick Mahomes in just a minute or so. But I want to go back to a few things Andy Reid said. You heard him just a few minutes ago right here on 96.5 The Fan. The Isaiah Pacheco thing, he's having surgery today. We know he's going on injured reserve. 2 days ago, Adam Schefter was on the Pat McAfee show and said it's not going to be season ending. Andy just said he doesn't have a timeline, and then reference that it could be this season or next season. So it's completely up in the air is what it sounds
like
to me.
I'd like to see the surgery first and then wait for the national reporting on the timeline of the injury. It's a lot like when Vinny broke his thumb or what we saw with Hollywood Brown, which is give me the surgery, then give me an update. Or at least a couple of weeks from then give me an update. Because there's no reason why the timeline would have fundamentally changed that significantly versus Andy just being careful. Mahomes talked about it and said, trainers aren't going to hold him back, or, you know, the trainer's going to have to hold him back. I'm excited for when he comes back. And we'll see exactly, and we'll hear from him in just a minute. But, like, it scares me a little, but at the same time, I told you when the injury happened, I am just going to pretend like Pacheco and Hollywood Brown are not available, and then when they are, great. But until then, I will just count on them as not being a member of this team.
We also know they made a couple moves, as we know the roster had some flexibility due to multiple players now being on IR. So they did sign from the practice squad Cole Christensen, a linebacker, and then running back Keontae Ingram to the active roster. And then tight end Peyton Hendershot is back with the organization on the practice squad and officially Kareem Hunt. Yeah, so I think that was by design. And for this Sunday, you know, it seems very unlikely that Kareem Hunt would be available, so that's why you activate Keontae Ingram. He's been with the organization for a little while, and so then you could maybe go into Sunday with Carson Steele, Samaje Perine, and if you needed a spell carry or two, Ingram is available. So you have three backs going into Sunday Night Football against the Falcons. But let's go right back out to Arrowhead and hear from the quarterback of the Kansas City Chiefs, Patrick Mahomes, here on 96.5 The Fan.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, Kareem was a close friend of mine while he was here. Just being in the same draft class or everything like that. He came to my wedding. But obviously, he went to Cleveland, has had a good career there, has learned and become a better person, and I'm glad to have him back now. And let's get him accustomed to the offense and see how fast we can get him out there.
What have conversations been like with him over the past couple of days?
I mean, I knew he was coming into the building. Obviously, I know he had to go through his workout process and meeting with the coaches and Veach and everybody. But at the end of the day, man, I just root for the person to keep becoming a better and better person. And the football secondary, but I'm glad to have him back and in the building. And I gave him a high five and a hug when I saw him, because it's a person that I used to spend a lot of time with a long time ago.
Patrick, when you left, I think the term you used was, we don't do those things. So I wonder how you found a way to balance both your friendship with him, but also to condemn the behavior, what that's like for a friend.
Yeah, I mean, I think anyone, everybody has friends that make mistakes, and obviously some are bigger than others. But at the same time, you want to make the person better. You want to see them taking the right steps to become a better person for themselves, their family, and the rest of society. And so I think you've seen that with Kareem. And so I've stayed in touch with him just to see how he's doing, how his family's doing, everything like that. And he's been able to carve out a great career in the NFL, but I mean, you've seen he's been able to keep his nose clean and be a better person, and that's what you want in order to make everybody better people.
You and Brett have been lockstep, like draft film and always sharing things. What did you see on the tape? What can you reasonably expect production-wise on the field once he does get caught up?
Yeah, I mean, a guy that plays hard, plays physical, can catch the ball in the backfield, still has explosion in between the tackles. And so we have a lot of guys in that running back room now that are going to have a chance to kind of take up some of that role while Isaiah's out. But they're ready for it, and I'm glad that Veach has built such a great running back room, and adding Kareem is going to be another step in that of taking a vital role of this team until we can get Pop back.
We didn't have a chance to ask Coach about what's going to happen at left tackle today. What did you see and what's it been like with Kingsley and Wanyo over the last couple of days looking at film, and who do you expect to be out there with you?
Yeah, I mean, I don't make those decisions at the end of the day. I have a lot of trust in both those guys. I thought Kingsley had good snaps, had bad snaps. That's just part of the process of being a rookie, going up against a great pass rusher. But he took accountability. He's learning from it. And then Wanye's played snaps as well, and he's done great things, and he's getting better and better. And so I think the coaches will, at the end of the day, make a determination they think is best for the team. But I trust both those guys, whoever's out there.
There are guys that are going to take the carries Pacheco had, but how do you replace, like, he just brought a different pop and energy. How do you replicate that and, I guess, replace that on offense?
Yeah, I mean, that's going to be everybody. That's not going to be just that running back room. I mean, you said it, the energy that he brings. I mean, the way he runs the football, the way he pops up, he's always positive mindset. That's going to take other guys to step up with. It starts with me. I got to bring that mindset. I got to play better football, put guys in better positions. But at the same time, I have to keep the energy going. And so that's a special thing that Pop does. I don't think one person can do that, have that amount of energy and play that hard. I mean, it really is a special characteristic of him. But I think the whole team can come together and bring that energy in his absence.
Patrick, you had a battle back from an injury, with your knee. What was your message like for Pop
Yeah, I mean, he loves the game, so he wants to be out there, and he puts so much work into it. So I think at first, I mean, you're upset that you have the injury, but if I know anything, I know that man's going to be getting after it. It's going to be more about the trainers having to hold him back than him not getting in and getting to work, because he loves it so much, man, and he's in the building, he's working, and I'm excited for the comeback, man, because he's going to come back ready to go whenever he gets back.
Patrick, how fast could you tell what had happened to him? And Andy made a point of saying he wasn't going to let anybody help him off the field. He was going to get off the field himself.
Yeah, I knew. I didn't see the tackle because of the angle that I was at. I've seen it, obviously, now. But the fact that he popped up and he was, like, running off the field, I mean, I think he was trying to get back on the field, and that just speaks to the type of competitor that he is. And so I didn't realize it was as serious of an injury until after the game, just the moment that we were in. But like I said, he's going to attack it, man, and he'll be back, I'm sure, sooner rather than later.
I was going to say, what's the mindset required to have success on the road? Is it different than just any other game?
I think the mindset is that you have to just come in with the mentality and really sharpen up on your details, which I think offensively we have to do anyways, starting with me. And so this is a good team, a lot of great players. I've played against a lot of these guys that are all in one spot now with a great defensive scheme, and it's going to be a great environment Sunday Night Football in Atlanta. So we're going to have to sharpen up our stuff offensively. Defense is playing great. They're going to keep playing good. But we got to continue to get better and better at the little things, and so that we can go out there and just play free when we get there.
What are the challenges with going up against a Raheem Morris defense, generally speaking, of course?
Yeah, well, first off, his schemes, he has a really good scheme. He has a good understanding of defenses and what the offense is trying to attack in his defense. So I think that, along with he's very game plan specific. So even though he has his scheme and has things that he works on, he tries to take away what you're best at. That's what all the best defensive coordinators do, and now he's a head coach. And you can see just from the little interactions I've had with him and the interactions I've seen, I mean, he's a great leader. And I think that's something that every player that you see that's played on one of his teams, offense or defensively, has said. And so it's going to be a great challenge for us, man, and I'm excited for it.
Last couple, though, Nate and Sam. But Nate.
Patrick, I'm sure you're aware of this, but you had a lot of passes that were either at or behind the line of scrimmage. Last week, it's starting to become a trend league wide.
Yep.
What do you attribute it to, whether from your standpoint or just when you're watching other guys play?
Yeah, I think this last week in general, I didn't play to my standard, so I think I have to be better. There was some opportunities down the middle areas of the field that I think I missed. We hit obviously the deep one to Rasheed, but whenever teams take away the deep stuff, you have to throw it underneath, but you still have to have the ability to threaten the middle of the field. So that's something that I will continue to work at. And then limiting mistakes for myself. But I think across the league, I think your teams are just going to make you drive the entire field. I think that's just kind of the thought process, and then trying not to let you score in the red zone. But there is opportunities out there, and you just have to execute at a higher level. There's not as many as maybe I've had previously.
Sam? Similar question, maybe you just answered it, but you mentioned earlier that you'd have to get better at the details. Is it that, just your selection of where to put the ball?
Yeah, this with the tight zone coverages, kind of the match zone coverages that you're playing, the windows aren't big, and so you have to be on time. Even if you look at the first interception I threw, I think Travis had a window there. I just was late to that window. And so just being on time, and if you don't, the defenses are collapsing those windows quick. And so those are the little things that I have to be better at, of being getting the ball there on time, accurately, and at not making the mistakes at the same time. So it's just stuff that you have to continue to work on throughout the season. But we got to be better, and I got to be better as the season goes on.
So that was Patrick Mahomes here on 96.5 The Fan, talking to the media as he does each and every Wednesday. He was asked about Kingsley Suamatia because Andy was not asked about.
Which
I'm surprised.
Is surprising. Well, they got distracted by Kareem Hunt.
The
news.
Kareem Hunt stuff. I get it. But so we don't know any more on who's going to start at left tackle on Sunday or not, but Mahomes basically just, hey, kind of what everybody noticed, hey, you're going up against a really good pass rusher, and you know, there was some bad snaps, some good snaps, and obviously in the second half there's a lot more of the bad snaps than the good, and we'll see. I still feel like they're gonna go back to him. I know we had Ross Tucker on the show earlier. He didn't think maybe it was as detrimental to go to Wanya, and then, you know, he said there's a mental issue, you know, mentally it can hurt you either way, right? Like in terms of your confidence.
Sure.
And he thought it looked,
if you just
like,
come out there and stand and getting beat all the time,
yeah,
he
thought Kingsley looked like he lost a ton of confidence when he was playing. Talking about Ross Tucker's comments.
I think a lot of times when you come to offensive line play, if you talk to guys who either played it or coached it, when you just start guessing, it's like hitting, right? If you're just up there guessing, you're just like throwing your arms at people, not trying to do something, and instead become reactionary, well, then, yeah, it's going to become a problem, and you're not going to be able to handle the responsibility to that point. I actually think what Andy did is the better, more likely way to get Kingsley to a successful point, which is, hey, ain't happening right now, and that's okay. Take a quick breather. On Monday, we'll get back to work. But, yeah, I thought by today, maybe we'd have a better sense of it, but because Andy didn't get asked about it, and Patrick's answer was, I like to think I have confidence in either one of those guys. Well, then we're not any closer to knowing who's going to start at left tackle for the Chiefs when it comes back on Sunday. I'll say both of them on Kareem Hunt said what you would expect him to say. It's been a long time. Seems like he kept his nose clean, which he has. Seems like he had a nice career in Cleveland. It's been 5 years. And then Andy said, look, was there a time before now that you consider bringing it back? No. You know, like maybe kick a name around, but this is the first time we very seriously considered bringing him back, and we'll see what kind of energy he brings to the table, which I think is probably more than fair as it comes to Kareem Hunt.
Yeah, he said they talked to people in Cleveland, you know, about him, and that there were any issues, and that was one of the reasons that they felt confident enough to bring him back. He didn't rule him out, as you said earlier, Cody, for playing on Sunday. Still seems a little far-fetched, and they activated Keontae Ingram, I think, for that reason, to make sure they have a possibility of having three backs, whether it's Kareem Hunt or it's Keontae Ingram, who's been on the practice squad as well. So we know, come Saturday, could we be sitting here and we find out they elevate Kareem Hunt from the practice squad? Yeah, and there's a possibility that happens. I think some of it just depends on, as you said, the kind of shape that he's in. But it would not surprise me if we have to wait till next week against the Chargers before you see Kareem Hunt actually in a Chiefs uniform on a game day.
Yeah, I think you're probably right. I think he's not ruling it out because he might get him in the building and be like, you know what?
Mm-hmm.
Screw it. And he's got a handful, a small percentage, like a little idea of how maybe they could use him. But I think for the most part, what we're running into is what you would expect, which is he's saying that, but I wouldn't be surprised if it's 2 weeks from now. They tend to always be more conservative than they're leaning on. The same reason I don't read into Andy saying it might be next season for Pacheco. He's always going to give you the timeline in which it is less than what it is. Saying that he won't rule him out for that does not mean he's actually considering playing him during that time, in my opinion. It just means he's like, I'm not going to rule it out yet because Andy likes to leave all options open. Do you actually think that Kareem Hunt's going to play this Sunday? That seems...
I don't.
Butch.
No. No, I don't. If you're just asking directly, no. I know Andy just didn't rule him out, so it's, I can't, you know, say 100%. No, I mean, the head coach just didn't rule him out, so I can't say 100%, but I would be surprised.
I would, too. It doesn't make sense to kind of rush this. You can, for one game, go some combination of Carson Steele and Samaje Perine, and I guess if you want to give Keyonte Ingram a carry or two or a series or a short series or half a series, I won't complain about that either. Like, that doesn't seem out of the question. It'll mostly just put you in the position we thought you were in before. Somebody said, I would believe anybody before I will believe Andy. When it comes to stuff like that, you're probably right. Like, in a normal situation, I'm not saying that. But Andy stretches truths. Andy dodges questions. Andy's careful. Andy's careful the way Patrick Mahomes is careful. They're not going to say the wrong thing here. You know, Patrick Mahomes is not going to be like, those guys need to be in better spots. He said, I need to play better today. Which does feel accurate based on his last performance. Maybe the worst of his NFL career, one of the worst. 151 yards is his lowest output, in which he did not leave a game injured due to a quarterback sneak. Or I think that was the game he left early from the quarterback sneak. Whatever. He didn't play a full game. And he had two interceptions to boot. And he threw a third that got overturned. Obviously, he knew that that was a penalty. But still, you get the point.
All right, coming up next, we get back to the Royals and their current losing streak as Josh Vernier, our Royals insider, joins us. We'll ask him how panicked Royals fans should be with 10 games to go.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one. Portrait pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Coming up in about 12 minutes, we'll get to the random question of the day. You guys can always interact with us on the text line, 913-586-7965. Someone said about the Royals, we shouldn't be panicked because we get Cody's songs back from
22nd
on the 22nd. I will fill this in. This is my whole thing with the song. I told you, you only want the credit when it's going good.
No, it's not true.
These are the front and back of the 2 weeks. You said you want 2 weeks before.
2 weeks.
2 weeks before don't count, as in it's you not singing. And then you said you want 2 weeks after. We are still inside of your 2 weeks, so these losses are still on your record here.
Yeah, but the record is still better than it was before.
I understand.
They're 6-5 or 6-4 during the song period.
Yeah.
Before that, they were like, I don't know, 4-11.
Yeah, I think you're on the hook. I think you're on the hook till Friday. No, I'm directly referencing one tweet that says we shouldn't be panicked because we get your song back. And I'm just informing them that these losses are part of your song as well.
I see.
Just making sure we're all on the yeah, the same page there.
No disagreement.
Should we be panicking? That's why we bring in our guy, Josh Vernier, to maybe get some people away from the ledge. I don't know. Maybe he agrees. Josh Vernier, our Royals insider, joins us. He's got his on-deck show tonight around 5:30 here on 96.5 The Fan. Vern, I was at the K last night, and I get the sense around me that people were starting to get panicked a little bit.
Yeah, worried about hitting with runners in scoring position, and understandably so. But I wouldn't say it was doom and gloom or, you know, sky is falling. It's just an acknowledgement once again of Vinny Pasquantino's absence. The post-game show last night went a lot better than it did the night before. Because let's also acknowledge these have been great games past two nights. Right? 7-6, another, you know, basically a two-run game last night, but it goes to extras. Detroit's playing some outstanding baseball. Royals, yeah, last night that one stings a little bit more so than game one. But no, I'm not sensing the type of, I'll put it this way. I think people were more worried in September of 2015 for some odd reason than they are currently with this team. I'm not sensing the ridiculous panic that I did in 2015 when, remember, they had that rough stretch at the beginning and some were wondering, oh, are they no longer going to have home field advantage throughout the American League? They still handled their business.
I think the biggest thing still on their side, Vern, which I think people don't like to hear for whatever reason it is, time. Like, I mean, just in reality, time is on their side. There are only 10 games left for the Royals. There are only 10 games left for the Tigers. And I don't know that they're going to beat Skubal tonight. He's the American League Cy Young favorite for a reason. They have beaten him in each of the last couple of times they faced him. But if they do beat Skubal tonight, then the Tigers would have to go 7-2 while the Royals go 2-7 over the remaining 9 games. It is difficult to close this kind of gap with only 9 games to play, because if the Royals just fall into 4 wins, you're kind of screwed.
Time and starting pitching. 10 games remain. 60% of those games will be started by Waka, Lugo, and Cole Reagan. So, you know, to me, and listen, you're likely going to face Blake Snell. Like you mentioned, you have Tarek Skubal coming up tonight. Max Fried, maybe a Chris Sale on the horizon in those final 3 games. So, you know, some difficult tasks still lie ahead. But even if you drop those 4 games, like you're saying, a lot would have to go wrong, right? But, man, you start diving into the schedules of the remaining or the teams that you're elbowing with for these final few spots in the American League postseason, right? Baltimore and Detroit are about to go at it. Baltimore and Minnesota go at it. New York and Baltimore go at it. So, to me, it's going to take, 2-8, 1-9 finish from here on out. And when you have Lugo, Reagans, and Waka, I don't see that happening.
When you look at what's happening with the runners in scoring position, do you anticipate more teams doing what we have seen the Tigers exploit in this series, which is, to hell if I'll ever throw Bobby Witt Jr. a pitch, you'll catch me dead before I throw Bobby a pitch. That's what happened in the game last night. They put it on anybody but Bobby Witt Jr.
Yeah, understandably so. Why would you? Why would you do anything different? The runners in scoring position, if you go back to the beginning of that 20-game riptide that I talk so much about, since the beginning of that 20-game stretch, the Royals are hitting .195 with runners in scoring position. Since the beginning of September, they're one of the 5 worst offenses in Major League Baseball. And to me, what this is just a reflection of the opponents, right? When you face good teams, you're facing good pitching, and you know, you're going to see a lot of good pitching coming up in a few weeks once the postseason starts. And when the postseason arrives, it normally comes down to 2 things. How many really good pitchers do you have? And how many hitters that can hit really good pitching do you have? And when you lose a guy like Vinny Pasquantino, who was among the best in baseball at hitting good pitching, that's going to be difficult to replace. So you look at this roster, and you know, Yuli Gurriel's been big in big spots. Hunter Renfro put a charge into one last night that could have changed the game. You need that Hunter Renfro. To me, he's a guy that's proven, I can hit good pitching consistently. I've been doing it for a decade. You need that guy to get going here in the final 10 games. And then Tommy Pham started off 3-for-3 with runners in scoring position. He's 0 for his last 8. Not all his fault. It was a very shaky strike zone in Pittsburgh. But still, Tommy Pham's been that guy, or at least was that guy in the first week and a half after being acquired. He was that guy that was giving you the quality plate appearance, the great at-bat in the first inning, and consistently at the top of the lineup, just like Vinny was doing when he was here. That's what you need to return. You need Hunter Renfro's big bat. You need Tommy Pham to get it going at the top of the lineup. And I think not only will they get to the playoffs, I still think they stand a really good chance in that wild card series. And beyond that, who knows?
We starting to see the bullpen list of possible names just get smaller and smaller. I'm not saying people are going to feel better, but James MacArthur, of course, now on the IL. We know some other pitchers over the last, 3 weeks or so have ended up on the IL. Any idea on where things are trending with Harvey or Michael Lorenzen at this point?
Well, they said yesterday that Lorenzen was hopefully going to throw a bullpen coming up this weekend, barring any setbacks. So, if that goes well, does he need a rehab assignment? Where would you go, I guess, out of rehab assignment? So
against 18-year-olds in Arizona, maybe.
Yeah. So that's at least, 2 weeks? So a week and a half? That's the postseason where hopefully a Michael Lorenzen can return. And you're hearing nothing about Hunter Harvey. So even if he starts ramping up, it's a guy that hasn't pitched in months. So hopefully in the ALDS, but again, that's all hopeful. There's no smoke signal for the team that leads me to believe that either one of those guys are going to be back, by the end of this homestand, certainly.
So, Vern, obviously it changes if you get to the divisional round or the ALCS, but for anybody who is looking for the magic fix-it button for the bullpen, it doesn't really exist. We know the arms they trust, but in a wild card series, who do you think is the starter they're going to throw in leverage for an inning? Is it Singer? Who is it that they're just going to be like, screw it, Singer, go out there and throw 2 innings really hard and let's see where we are?
Yeah, the Brady Singer conversation's interesting. He's obviously the best starter that likely won't make a start unless, you start Brady, you give him one time through the lineup, and then you bring in Michael Wacha, a guy that's been the NLCS MVP, the guy that's done just about everything in the game. And you ask him to eat up 5-6 innings, and then suddenly you just hand it off to a Chris Bubich or a Lucas Urseg. Let me put it this way. Who would you feel more comfortable putting in an uncomfortable position, Brady Singer or Michael Wacha? So right? You allow Brady Singer to go through that regular starter's routine, take him out after the second, third inning, and bring in a guy like Michael Wacha. That could be an option.
How do you think it plays out? Let's say this goes down to the final game of the year, and it's looking more and more like maybe that is going to happen, and your belief, too, that perhaps the top wild card spot is still in play. Well, if that's the case, then the discussions about moving guys around and skipping starts isn't going to happen if that truly happens. So, I mean, we're mentioning Brady Singer pitching one inning, but he might actually have to start game one of a wild card series.
Yeah, I asked JJ about that earlier this week. Are you guys going to press for that home field advantage? And he looked at me like it was a silly question, and maybe I phrased it poorly, which would not be surprising. But for as obvious as it sounds, I want those 3 games in Kansas City. I want to be able to, take a lead and then do what I want with my bullpen, knowing that, we have that lead. We have that home field advantage. But if that means, because right now, if everyone stays on regular rest, it's Lugo and Reagans in the final 2 games of the season, as you've pointed out. Is home field advantage really worth, not using those guys until game 3, if game 3 is even there for the team? Yeah, that'll certainly be a terrific conversation for sports radio. Let's hope the Royals can punch their ticket, that Baltimore continues to fall, and that's something this team doesn't even need to consider, that they could start lining up Lugo, Reagans, however they want for games 1 and 2.
Are you with us on Baltimore? If I got to choose a team to face in the first round of the playoffs, I'd choose them. I don't think they've played very good baseball after the All-Star break, Vern. I don't think they're playing very good baseball at all.
Statistically, they have not. No, they've been very bad. They haven't beaten a team with an above 500 record in a series since July. And I don't know if there's anybody in that bullpen that gives me any sort of fear, not like a Lucas Erceg. I think he's the best bullpen arm. You know, Corbin Burns is a stud, but I think it's a pretty big drop-off to Zach Eflin or whoever else they want to throw out there. And the pressure's all on Baltimore, right? Again, at least the way I see it, man, my feet have been up for a while. Since the Royals won that eighth game in the Riptide, man, it's all house money from here on out. It's anything but in Baltimore, right? It's they've been a shoo-in for the postseason for months now. If they gag it away, if that happens in Baltimore, oh, boy, it'll be very similar to what we saw in 2014, where it's just a bunch of, jaws on the floor in those road stadiums.
If you had to guess right now, if it's just one of the two, do you think the Twins or the Tigers make it?
Oh, boy. Are the Tigers look great in person, at least the past two nights. I just don't know if they can continue to piecemeal this pitching together. So I'll ride with the team that I believe in at least two of their starters. Now, Reese Olson getting healthy, that could be big, but I think I'll go Bailey Ober and Pablo Lopez. I think I'll still lean Minnesota.
Josh Fernier, our Royals insider, will be listening tonight, his On-Deck show, 5:30, right here on 96.5 The Fan.
Thanks, guys.
There you go. Josh Fernier, he joins us throughout the baseball season, of course, for our show, at least on Wednesdays, but you hear him all week long on our entire lineup and, of course, his On-Deck show. And we've been saying getting down to the home stretch, but we're really on it
five
now, man.
Five home games left.
Yeah,
there's only 10 games left.
Yeah, man. This is the final homestand of the season. 6:40, first pitch tonight on 96.5 The Fan, as you pointed out. School and Marsh, the matchup. And I was looking everybody's talking about, this is very tough matchup tonight. It definitely is, and the Royals still are not like the biggest underdog of the day. Last night I pulled it up. They're an underdog, all right. We knew that going into tonight, and it's baseball, so that doesn't necessarily mean as much as it does. We're talking about an NFL game and someone's an underdog. The underdogs win all the time in baseball. They're like the fifth or sixth biggest underdog in the betting market today. So it's not like, they're going up against Goliath and they just have no chance. Like, no, it's baseball. They got the edge in the pitching to start. We know that. That's fair. But there's no guarantees here by any means that the
Royals
had
the edge in the pitching last night and who won. Royals were the favorite last night and who won.
They had the edge in pitching and their pitcher was good.
Pitched great.
Reagan's, it's not like Reagan's got out in the fourth inning. He ended up with seven innings, one run, four hits, and like seven strikeouts. And for
six,
the most part,
sadly, I lost my back.
Was it six? You had over six and a half, didn't you? Well, you know where I'm at on that. It's not good because I feel like for the season, I think my season long, unless he pitches in the season finale,
then
other than that,
trouble.
I think I'm in big trouble, man.
Random question.
For you, Gold. For you, Drew, over on the text line, 913-586-7965. That's also the phone number. Or you can hit us up, Twitter, Twitch, YouTube, and Facebook. See, the numbers are growing over there all the time. People want to see us on video, you know?
I popped into the YouTube chat today. Normally, I don't go over there.
You know, there's some heated discussion.
Yeah.
One member is obsessed with Drew.
Yeah.
And
apparently,
we're trying to be like, it's cool, we got it. Let's just all be functioning members who talk in the chat. That's cool.
Are they back at it again?
Yeah, man, every day. Every day, Drew. Every day they're after you. Maybe if you acknowledge them. If Drew promises you a fair back and forth, Paul, can we let it go? That's what I'm asking.
I think we got it resolved. I think we got it resolved, though. I made a post in there, and he said, okay, for now on, when he talks about Cincinnati sucking, he will not mention Drew's name and go after Drew.
But then he mentioned me in the following text.
Well, you pissed him off.
All I said was, we get it.
Mm-hmm.
Fine, whatever.
He says it's all in fun, guys.
That's fair. Well, but it's too much fun.
Oh,
you know? You gotta, like, it's not fun if it's too much. It's fun if it's occasional.
Uh-huh.
That's
uh-huh.
not my random question today. My random question today comes from a story in Ohio. I'm going to tell you what happened, and then I'll ask you the question after, in this case. In Bedford, Ohio, an 8-year-old, so like my daughter's age, was reported missing after she hadn't been seen in her house in the early part of the day, only to find out that the 8-year-old, as they saw on a Ring camera, got her parents' keys, took her mom's car, 13 miles, a 20-minute drive to Target, where she continued to buy herself a Frappuccino, shop a little bit, hang out on a Sunday at Target, just like any other you know, regular Sunday for her. And on the entire journey, only hit one mailbox, despite being 8 years old driving a car. So the question I have for you today, and then we can talk about this story a little bit, because that's nuts, at least on that end. The question is I have for you today is, how old do you think you could have been at the youngest to have made a 20-minute drive and only hit one thing?
I mean, not eight, I'll tell you that. I mean, it had
my daughter,
been,
she crashed four seconds after leaving the house.
I'm guessing probably like 14, 15, maybe. Because now you can get, like, when can kids get like instructional permit or whatever?
I don't know, 15, 14.
And, like, obviously, and if you live on, like, if you have a farm, right, you can drive even younger, right? There's, if you can. Mm-hmm. So I would say like 13, 14. Eight, besides just reaching the pedals, as you brought up, to know how to drive to Target. Like, well, like the fact
that's
that the
also
kid,
impressive.
Like, the kid knew
honestly
to back out of the car, the driveway, or I don't know if the car was backed up or not, but in to drive to Target.
Stop out of the stoplights, you know, you're not hitting other cars, or if you have to stop at a stop sign, that's going okay.
This has got to be one of those moments where you're more impressed with your kid than mad. Because I'm mad. They stole my car. But they didn't, you know, like, it'd be different if a 14-year-old stole my car. My sister stole a car when she was, like, 14-year-old and drove it and joyrode it through somebody's front yard, right? Okay. Yeah, you can be pissed. You're grounded. She might have been 13. She's pretty young. Right? She drove. She was old enough, 13. My stepdad and some other people let me behind the wheel of a car. I probably could have gotten 20 minutes down the road at, like, 12, 13, maybe a little earlier than some others, where if we went to, like, Smithville Lake and we were driving it down the hill, they'd let me sit behind the wheel with the full gas brake behind the wheel and steer a little bit.
You said she was shopping too, though, right?
But no, dude, she went up. She bought. So they said they let her finish her frappuccino when they got there.
So what
she ordered? So she took mom's car too.
I was gonna say,
getting herself a frappuccino, shopping around to Target. How did she think the end of this was gonna go? It's nuts. That's an impressive story. Driving there, driving the car, getting yourself to Target, having the wherewithal to bring enough money to buy stuff.
One of the questions I would ask is, did the Starbucks barista ask where your parent? Did that question come up at all, or did they just assume?
They probably assumed the mom was right around the corner at the store shopping or whatever, and the kid was given the card from their mom to order a coffee or whatever.
The
you
facial
know?
Expressions probably so like the Home Alone, like Home Alone, like you're buying
Drew
a
in fairness,
Starbucks drink by yourself.
My daughter is eight, and she is very much in a, like, I can do this myself phase, get the hell out of here phase.
Yeah.
So if we're at Target and I'm going to let her get, like, a chocolate croissant at Starbucks, she asks for the card to go buy things herself. Like, she would just like to go do it herself. Like, give me the card.
Nice.
I will go pay for this thing.
That's cool.
Or for, like, at an ice cream place, she's like, leave. She wants me out of the equation so that she can handle the responsibility of, like, I'm big enough to handle this stuff. Leave me. You know, like, we don't need you to be a part of it. I don't think she'd get behind the wheel of a car.
This was,
I don't know that she'd be able to start now. It is my car's a push button now.
Right.
So maybe they could start if they had the key.
But think, like, she navigated through a Target parking lot and parked the car, presumably. And parked the car. Like, people on the text line are saying, you know, they drove on, you know, maybe back country roads when they were 10. Sure, but I think we could all acknowledge that's way different in the middle of nowhere on a country road than she was driving, presumably in a well-populated area,
through a neighborhood
to drive to a Target and then park the car. Now, I would love to see the video or photo of the parking job. There's a lot of grown adults that don't know how to park
like
the damn
a
car.
Cam or anything,
and there's plenty of cars that are crooked and over the line now. And those are adults that have been driving for 25 years. So I actually am curious how good of a parking job was this.
I think, and as long as I could reach the pedals, like if you told me you can reach the pedal with no problem, I would say 10 years old, I'd be able to do it. I'd be able to drive to the store.
I'd certainly steer a car at 10. But also, I think that the difference between a push button and turning the key is also probably a little bit different. Like, my kids could go in there and press a button that says
start.
Yeah,
but to start the car with the push start, you have to have your foot on the brake.
You do with a key, too, right? I mean, so you're still taking out one less motor skill.
No, but if I just sit in my... now I'm trying to picture, because I have a push start, and I haven't had to turn the key forever. On a key, you just turn the car and it starts.
I don't think you push.
You have to press the brake.
I think the push start, you press the
brake.
You
did on my, I guess, okay, I just drove one.
Yeah,
like, they're all a little different.
Yeah, yeah.
In the last car I drove, which was not that long ago.
I know on the push start.
I had to put my foot on the brake.
I know on the push start. Like, my car will not start unless you put the foot on the brake.
It might just turn on, like, the radio or whatever.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah.
eight years old. Took a full SUV. Not even just, like, a compact car. Full-ass SUV, man.
So then the parents... Once the police found the kid at the Target, then the parents, like, get a ride to Target from the police to go
pick
up their car.
Or maybe they took their other car. It just said the chiefs or the police found the child by herself in the store. She told officers that she had struck a mailbox while driving, but nothing else. Authorities did not say why she had decided to travel to the store or provide any further details on her trip. The girl's too young to be criminally charged. I mean, yeah, come on. She's 8.
There's definitely a
difference. You can't be charging her for stealing a car. Yeah.
Well, and also, like, even from a parent perspective, you tell me you're the one with kids, but I feel like there's a huge difference, like, 8-year-old versus if it was a 13-year-old. Like, a 13-year-old, that kid's probably getting grounded in a story.
Yeah.
This kid is getting talked to, obviously, but you're not, like, punishing them for a week because of it because they're 8.
And you mentioned a grown adult can't park. Most grown adults anymore that I know, like, most 25-year-olds I know, can't even get to where they're going without using GPS. This kid just straight up got to Target. Like, Drew, how often do you use GPS?
When we first moved here, a lot. Like, it depends on where I'm going.
Sure.
I think for the kid, that's what I wonder is if they have a cell phone. Don't know that because they were 8. But did they know how to connect to CarPlay, or did they just somehow? Because 13 miles is a longer way than some people think. It's not 13 minutes necessarily.
It's like 20 minutes.
Yeah, 13 miles.
Somebody says, I don't understand how no one saw her driving and called the cops. I would have like double taken, been like, but then what's the problem? It's like,
she didn't drive that long. And she went on the road that long to where by the time they.
Well, and I'm sorry, if I see a young person driving a car, what if it's like a little person? I'm calling the cops on them. My initial thought would be like, that person looks very small, but like, my initial instinct is not, that's a child. That's right. An 8-year-old driving the car next to me.
Driving the Escalade.
That wouldn't be my initial thought.
Yes.
I would just assume it's an adult who looks like a child who has some sort of like genetic disorder.
Yeah,
or
what
something.
Are you going to do? Roll down your window and be like, excuse me.
Are you a child?
Are you actually, you know, I don't know, man.
My initial instinct would not be, that's an 8-year-old parked next to me.
Yeah, I mean, we can all laugh about this one because fortunately, all it was a mailbox. Okay. Nobody, she didn't wreck into somebody. I mean, it could have been way worse, but
I've taken out more mailboxes than her. Not with a car, but in general.
Mm-hmm. We've heard. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
I was in a car when somebody ran through a mailbox once. I was a passenger.
Somebody said 13 miles is 6 minutes. On the interstate.
I'm sorry, what are you driving, 100 miles an hour, sir?
On the interstate. What are you talking about?
Sir, maybe on the Autobahn, 13 miles is not 6 minutes. You do realize at 60 miles per hour, you're essentially going a mile a minute, right? So, like, what speed are you traveling
in
order to...
You're going 120, apparently. That's what it was. Like,
doesn't matter. That person drives fast. That's my random question of the day. We all agree, somewhere in that 12 to 13 range, it seems.
All right, up next, we're going to get to our confidence level of history being made 2 weeks into the season, and we found out that Drew got blocked by somebody on social media, and we have no idea why. Drew has to explain this to us. We don't know why, and I need to find out immediately. That's next.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.